Welcome to you, Lockie. Thanks a lot for your time.
No, no worries, Dwayne. Thanks for having me on the show.
You've been through it. You've sort of had the bottoming out where fans didn't come, and it seemed as if, and I know you probably were through it twice because you come to the Brisbane Lions after they've been through it, so you arrive there, but you've also been through it with Fremantle where you've been down the bottom a bit. It's a hard process. I'm just trying to think of a better way of doing it. You know, it's hard to sell to players that you're going to be average and below par for 3 or 4 years just so we can get the draft picks. I'm not sure that's a sell that players ever expect these days.
No, I don't think so. And everyone that gets drafted, well, I'd say 95% of players want to win, and it's not a great feeling going out there and losing games of footy. So it is a hard sell for the players, and from my experience, we're going out there every week trying to win. So you can't really change the players' mindset in that way. But I think clubs now as well, you sort of understand where you might be at and just try and improve as a group, and you have your sort of core players at a club that you're going to try and improve together at a young age, and it can turn around pretty quickly, as we probably saw with our footy club last year.
Absolutely, you did turn it around quickly, and the recruiting of guys, I mean, Brisbane weren't a destination club for a few years either, and yet they were able to get you, and it helped them resurrect their situation. So what made you consider Brisbane, given that they were low on the ladder and really a destination club or contender, as opposed to leaving Fremantle and going to a destination-style club like a Richmond or Collingwood or Hawthorn?
It's a funny sort of phrase, a destination club, and I think different clubs go through different phases where players want to join that footy club. And for me, it was the people around the place. It wasn't really the fancy headquarters and facilities and whatnot. It was more the people involved in the footy club, and somewhere I thought I could grow as a player, and that I could help grow the footy club and bring something to Brisbane as well. So for me, it was the people. If you get that right, I think people will want to join your footy club.
And I know your coach used the word, so I'll throw them at you as well. He said you've got to make sure you don't do a Melbourne this year. You probably would have chosen to not use those words given the repercussions since, but how do you go about trying to not do a Melbourne this year?
Yeah, I think for us, it sounds pretty cliche, but we come to training every day trying to improve every day. We take it session by session rather than looking at results and looking ahead. So clearly everyone at this stage wants to play finals and put themselves in a position to do some damage in September, but that's a long way away for us at the moment. We've got a really healthy list once again. Our sports science staff have done a great job in getting everyone ready for the season ahead, really fit and healthy, and I think that's an important part of it as well. And for us, I feel like we have improved and tinkered with a few little things. We're pretty happy with our game plan, but we had to improve a little bit. So we've worked on a few things over the summer, and everyone starts 0-0 at the moment, so there's no guarantee, but we feel like we're in a really healthy and great spot to hopefully have another great year.
So what were you looking to try and get out of the game against Port Adelaide on the weekend? What was the main thing on the whiteboard? What did you get asked to try and achieve? Was it game style as opposed to, you know, looking at the scoreboard? What was it?
Yeah, we probably went in just focusing on some basics and getting our fundamentals right through that game, and we were able to execute it at times, but not for long enough, and we had a lot of fumbles, and we probably weren't brave enough with our ball use, something that we've been practicing throughout the summer. We went away from it a little bit, but to Port's credit, they brought a lot of pressure, which didn't really allow us to get our free-flowing ball movement going. But sort of before the game, we just spoke about getting fundamentals and cohesion within the team. It was the first time we'd sort of played together as a group with some new additions and whatnot. So we just wanted to try and build that cohesion a little bit too. We were a bit off, but we'll certainly be better for the run.
Did you try to bring too many other players into it? You had 47 possessions. You had more than 50% of them were handballs, and I think one of your assistant coaches said that you handballed too often. Was that a flaw in your game on the weekend, even though it's hard to say you had a flaw in a 47-possession game?
Oh, yeah, I probably didn't use it as well as what I usually do with my hands. 50% sort of kick to handball ratio is pretty high for me, actually. So there were times I probably should have kicked it forward when I was under a bit of pressure, but most of the time I'll back myself in to hit a teammate with a handball, and unfortunately I missed a couple of times, especially in that first half. But I've been working on a bit of stuff through the pre-season to try and make myself a little bit more damaging with my use, and I actually thought that if my handball's had a hit a couple of times, it would have been the right option. So there's been games where I've had sort of 6 kicks and 25 handballs. So I thought my ratio was actually about right. Just had to make the most of it.
And do you think you will try and move the ball quicker? I know that different things have been talked about with different teams this year, but there has been this inclination, clubs saying they want to move the ball quicker, not just play this, let's hold it and wait and pick the right option, kind of decisiveness. Let's play on quickly and be more attacking and use the corridor more. And yet you beat Geelong last year in that late season game, you know, with the thriller game when you went wide and used the ball with precision as opposed to taking too many crazy risks. Where are you at with the evolution of the Brisbane Lions style?
Yeah, we probably want to have a bit more balance. We were a pretty wide team last year, and teams probably picked up on that. We'll still use that when we need to, and sometimes teams defend really well and you have to sort of kick down the line and get numbers there. But we'll certainly try and use the corridor a little bit more. We don't want to go too quick, but when the options are there, we'll certainly try and hit them probably a little bit more than last year. We felt that against the better sides and the better defensive sides, we got bogged down a little bit too much. So we'll try and fix that and get through the opposition defence a little bit better than what we did in that sort of last few games, I suppose. Because even against Geelong, they defended really well. It was a low-scoring game. And against Richmond and GWS, we weren't able to get that ball movement going. But we did a lot of things right last year. I think at the end of the home and away season, we were sort of top two in attack, so we won't change too much, but we definitely want to improve in that area again.
And do you think the Marley Williams bump was maybe a one-off? Do you think players have changed their mindset with the ability to bump and attack the player without the ball? Do you think players have changed the way they automatically approach the game and they are more ball conscious these days, and maybe the Marley situation was just a one-off anomaly? Or do you think players need to be reprogrammed a bit more to go the ball and forget going for the player without the ball with a bump?
Yeah, it's probably a bit of a one-off. You don't see it too often. I think AFL players have adapted in recent years to that. So, to be honest, I haven't put too much thought into that. And I know, just speaking on behalf of myself, that my focus is always the ball, and at times you're going to get it wrong and it's a split second decision a lot of the time, and it's a contact game, so accidents are going to happen. But the more we can look after each other and whatnot, the better. But I don't think you're going to eradicate it completely out of the game for good.
And do you think there's enough protection for the ball goer? Do you think the tagger still has an advantage to be able to scrag, or do you think they've changed at the AFL to the point that it is now a bit better balance?
It's hard to say. I've probably only really copped it a few games when Nathan Fyfe was out at Fremantle. He used to cop more of the attention, and probably last year was the first time I've had it consistently. So I don't really have too much to go off of, but it's a part of the game. It's always been a part of the game, and it's a really good battle between tagger and tagged player a lot of the time. And for the sort of footy tragics and the footy lovers who go to the games and can see it on TV and whatnot, it's probably a great spectacle most of the time and a really good battle. So I'll let you know in the next 12 months if taggers are getting a hold of me and I can't get much of the footy, I might have a whinge to you.
A bit of a groundswell of thought that the All-Stars v Vic game on Friday night might be a pretty intense affair, where a couple of weeks ago we thought it might be a kick and giggle. I'm hearing you guys are going to go pretty hard. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't spoken to too many people about the intensity of the game and whatnot, but I would have thought there's some pretty competitive guys that will be on the field, and once the ball's bounced, we'll want to get into it. And I think the guys are sort of prepping for round one as well. So It'd be a shame if it wasn't a good preparation game for the players. So I think you see a pretty good contest.
And the battle for number 9, Patrick Cripps won it?
Yeah, he's picked me for number 9. I think I'm wearing number 17, so my favourite midfielder, Jared Lyons, wears that at the Brizzy Lions. So in tribute to him, and also another favourite of mine who doesn't play anymore, Bernie Vince, used to wear it at Adelaide. So grew up watching Bernie, and I know Bernie pretty well, so he'll be happy that I'm pulling on the number 17, and hopefully I can do him proud.
So how did they explain that to you? Oh, we've given, by default, Patrick Cripps, what, better player, more experience? How did they sell it to you that you didn't get 9?
Well, I think I've played a few more games than him, but he's probably a better player than me, so I can't complain too much. He's one of the best in the competition. So he plays for a big Melbourne club as well, so there's probably something in that too. The Carlton, famous Carlton number 9, so he can have the number 9 this week. I'll take the 17.
Who rang you to tell you? How did they explain that to you?
No, I didn't get explained. I just saw the email come through that I've got 17, and I haven't heard anything about it. I've just got an email, so, yeah, they haven't let me know.
And last question from me. The use of analytics in footy, you had 47 on the weekend. Port, I think, in another game for home and away points would probably tag you or trying to shut you down. How much analytics have crept in to the way you play a game and the numbers deciding what decisions are made by you guys on the field?
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of coaching staff and IT guys that have a look at numbers and the way teams might try and move the ball and how they defend and individual players, how they're going with some statistics. But we usually take a bit more of a team approach. We haven't tagged too often in the last 12 months. So we more look at the whole team and their strengths and weaknesses that way through analytics rather than individuals. But certainly at times with some of the great players, we put a bit more attention into some of the damage they might be doing in certain areas of the ground, and certainly plays a big part in our preparation for games nowadays.
Lockie, great to have a chat to you. Really appreciate you allowing me some time. Thanks for joining me, and look forward to seeing you Friday night.
No worries. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Lockie Neal, Brisbane Lions star. Join the Lions for their annual Family Fun Day, Labor Day. Meet the team at the State Netball and Hockey Centre in Parkville. Entry is free to that one if you want to meet Lockie Neal.